Sorry about that. I just forgot to turn on the recorder. It's on now. So I'm going to have three separate recordings for this week. And for those of you that didn't, that don't subscribe to my YouTube page and all that, that didn't get the alert, I just put the alert in the, let me put it in the stream again. We're going to have a major announcement after the sermon. And I'm going to be sharing some information out of the spirit of prophecy. But that's after our formal sermon hour, and so I don't see an issue with it. Just like at the 5 o'clock hour, we often use Spirit of Prophecy there as well. But for the official sermon, only Scripture, as well as the study hour. And not because we have any issue with Spirit of Prophecy, it's just that it was stated in the writings, don't do that. Yet, every SDA pastor that I know does it. So, anyway, where are they? Okay, so let me get my notes up here. Kind of like fell behind a little bit today because we had some internet issues in the morning. Got them all ironed out. Think I found what was bottlenecking, so hopefully Fran and I don't fall out again and the radio doesn't fall out. Because I think it was, I got too many routers hooked together, and one of them uses a WAN hook instead of the just straight LAN like a switch. And so it's confusing, I guess, the server at times. And that's why only me, Fran, and WTPR fall out. Everybody else stays in. I'm thinking. I'm hoping. I'm praying. So, all right. But wonder what that noise was. I'm trying to figure out what, because the Simpsons said they heard a loud burp. So I'm trying to figure out what that noise had to have been, you know. Because I didn't eat yet. I don't eat until after church. So, but anywho, it could have been anything. Could have been, yeah, it could have been the door creaking when Fran came in. I don't know. But anyway, trying to figure it out. I'm going to listen to the recording later and see if I can't find it. And then I'll laugh out loud along with the kids. They were telling me how the kids were laughing out loud when they heard that noise. So, okay, so as you recall, last Sabbath we looked a little closer at the olive oil and all that entailed, you know, regarding us and the Holy Spirit who has given us this duty to perform in these last days. So this Sabbath, we're going to look at the two olive trees, all right? Now, while in vision, and I may have touched on this a little bit last week, the prophet Zechariah saw this in Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 to 14, and now that I'm going to, I didn't forget, so I'm going to put the sanctuary thing. Wow, that's coming in slow. Yeah, the server is averaging around 5 megs, so we shouldn't have issue. I don't know why they came in so slow. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm giving all priority to this server, so anything I'm using is gonna slow down. So, okay, no problem. All right, so Zechariah chapter 4, verses 11 to 14. Thanks again, Brother Sean. Thank you, Warren, and everybody else that's helping out and doing all the things that you're doing with the stream and the radio. Welcome, everybody, on the radio, too. Sabbath blessings. And on the phone. All right, so Zechariah 4, 11 to 14 says, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the gold which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, do you recall what it says in Revelation 11, verses 3 and 4? You know, and this is one of those extremely meaty doctrines, truths, if you will, in Scripture that unless you do an in-depth study and look at 20 or 30 different verses and how they touch on them, it's just like with the angel of the Lord thing. This here is amazing theology, and it really hits home when you look at the way the, you know, the two witnesses. And so verses, chapter 11, verses 3 and 4 says, And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,203 score days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. As students of prophecy and students of the Bible, we know that these two witnesses are, in fact, the Old and New Testaments of the Bible. You know, everybody's out there saying, no, it's, you know. I mean, if you were new to the truth, it can be a bit of a shock to hear that, because being in the last days, there's many false prophets out there. And they're saying that the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. There's movies like the Left Behind series and all this stuff with Kirk Cameron and all that stuff in there. They actually have guys acting like they're Moses and Elijah, when in fact, there is not a single Bible verse that back any of that up. Not one. See, that's one of the strange things about today's world. Like, I was talking to somebody on YouTube the other day, and they say, well, we don't really have to rely on the Bible 100%. And that's just your kid. Well, I'm thinking that was a Catholic, because that's how they're taught. But now everybody believes that way. And so if you're interested, I do have a page on the website that shows all that the Old and New Testament speak regarding these two witnesses. And I pray when you get time that you know, look into that study. I did a couple sermons on it too, I think. And they're linked out on there, just audio. But and no, there is not one verse, or even two or three verses, that can make this doctrine easily understood. It is what the Bible calls meaty scripture, like I said a minute ago. And so if you check out that study, you will find that the Bible is rather clear when it comes to those two witnesses. So, but amazing, isn't it, though, when you think about that? I mean, those that claim the two witnesses be Moses, you know, to be Moses and Elijah, have not a single Bible verse to back it up at all. But those of us that declare the two witnesses to be the Old and the New Testament have many verses to back up the truth. Yet most will not see it, because, as it is also stated in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? And so, because the majority of the people out there don't read Bibles, and they just listen to whatever their pastors say, they echo whatever the pastor's saying. This is why it's so dangerous to be in any of these 501c3 churches nowadays. And when I share the special announcement later, you're going to find out if you're in any 501c3 church, you're not going to be used by God at all in a loud cry. And this is especially easy to understand for Seventh-day Adventists, because I'm going to be using some books that they are known to understand as being valid, whereas the rest of the world has no clue about them, because it's just like with the Jews. The Jews look at Daniel and call him a false prophet because of what he said. Well, the Spirit of Prophecy books are declared false prophecies because they don't like what that says. That's why you go into a Christian bookstore, you'll never find these books at all. And so, without the Holy Spirit, no man or woman alive can see the things that the people of God can see. And yes, brothers and sisters, we can use this to our advantage in the coming days when they seek to persecute us, either in doctrine or in the physical sense. When they peer into the Word of God, seeking a way to discover what we see and where we will be in the Word, or even in the world for that matter, at any given time in history, you know, prophetic history, they're going to be looking in one area when the Lord has us completely in another area. I mean, case in point, most Christians today believe, they literally believe this in all governments, when the name Israel is mentioned regarding God's obedient people after the cross of Christ, no less, in today's world, 2,000 years after the cross of Christ, they still think it's the Jews. They really do. They actually think it's the Jews. And even though the Jews denied Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and Messiah, In the Bible literally says in the Old Testament and in the New that they will be replaced by Christians. I got a page on the website all about that as well. And but getting back to the two olive trees, which we know were declared the two witnesses of God in Revelation a moment ago, also notice what Jesus said in John 5:39. He said that we should search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The word they is plural in definition. Jesus also said in Matthew 24:14 that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And yes, this is why the Vatican and all the Protestant churches that preach a seven-year tribulation and a secret rapture or even eternal life and hellfire claim that those two witnesses are Moses and Elijah who will appear after the so-called secret rapture. Satan loves to confuse the Christians, and the easiest way to confuse the people is to keep them out of the Bible. And that Bible speaks from the Old to the New Testament all about these two witnesses in great detail, and even speaks on the prophetic events that will surround them when the wicked kill them and cause them to lay in the streets dead for 3.5 days, which already happened centuries ago, and you could prove it just by going in, you know, doing an eschatological study, you know, matching a historic record with prophetic utterance. And I have that on my Two Witnesses page on the website. For those of you that are interested, I think if you just go to remnantofgod.org/, I didn't put TWO, but well, maybe I did. Let me see. No, it's just the number 2 and then the word witness.htm. Might want to check that out when you get a chance. So, Satan knows. If the people are allowed to read the Bible without Vatican influence, he knows that if they read it intact without the thousands of verses missing or even a priest sitting there nearby to, you know, twist everything that they're reading, they will see the things they never knew regarding the importance of God's law and his word. And so he gets them to stay out of the Bible so that when his wolves come around acting as if they are Bible scholars, and they are, in fact, scholars, but only as per satanic influence. These false teachers know the lies of Satan inside and out in the same way obedient Christians know the truth of Christ inside and out. Making those that don't study Bibles believe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah makes them once again rely on the creature more than the Creator as prophesied. They have no faith in God at all because their weak faith has never seen a prayer answered, and because they don't study his word, it's way too hard for them to understand it, but they have a ton of faith in Moses and Elijah, just as the Catholic has all sorts of faith in Mary, and the Muslim has faith in Muhammad, and the Buddhist has faith in Buddha, just to name a few. You know, those that believe the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah also believe they will appear after the so-called secret rapture, like I mentioned a minute ago, to wreak havoc on the eternally damned reprobates in power doing those supposed 7 years, or, you know, the 7 years of tribulation. But again, there is not a single Bible verse to back any of that up. But people don't know that. It's the last days, like the prophet Amos said, right before the plagues begin, there's going to have to be a mindset of the people out there that just don't trust Bibles. They don't read them anymore. And so after the plagues begin, they're going to realize, whoa, they messed up. And so now they're going to start looking in the Bibles, but it's like he said, you're going to running to and fro. You're not going to find it. There's a famine in the land now, not a thirst for water or food. It's a famine of the scripture, you know, the word of God. And so keeping them out of the Bible and trusting their wolves on the pulpit keeps those poor souls locked in Satan's trophy case for as long as it takes to seal their fate. And that's why this what I'm going to be sharing after the sermon today is going to shock quite a few people, especially Seventh-day Adventists. I would think primarily Seventh-day Adventists. Because we've already seen what Rome did with the Bibles, changing them. There's so many different Bibles out there with thousands of verses missing. But they did the exact same thing with Spirit of Prophecy because it's just a bigger threat to them as Scripture is. But I'm not going to get into the prophecies that have already been fulfilled about the two witnesses. I've already done that in two sermons as well as on the page on the website. And so again, those that would like to see the prophecies that are matched perfectly with historic record, see the remnantofgod.org/2 and then the word witness.htm. The Old and the New Testament that testify of Christ are in fact the two anointed ones symbolized by the two olive trees that empty the golden oil out of themselves through the, you know, the golden pipes, as Zechariah put it in that verse, verse 12. We, brothers and sisters, are to be the light of the world, as Jesus said. And so that oil, or Holy Spirit, as we understand oil, is defined in prophecy. That Holy Spirit within us helps us to keep our lamps burning. But unless we trim the lamps, or, you know, study the Word of God daily, we will never be used of God. He can't trust you. He, you know, wishy-washy or, you know, rudderless boats are useless, if you know what I mean. And yes, the golden color of olive oil is an obvious fitting symbol onto the righteousness of Christ as we see him illustrated by all that gold in the sanctuary. You know, it's amazing how that gold color is even found in the oil that is used in the candlestick. I thought that was pretty neat. So, but anyway, this oil fills the lamps, which in turn fills us, because we are the light of the world to go forth. And prophesied light bearers, in other words, and with the oil of the Holy Spirit to go forth to set our light, or rather to let our light so shine before all the world. Without daily Bible study, it's an absolute impossibility. But with daily Bible study, it's an absolute must, as is our, you know, time of prayer with the Lord. For if we neglect to do this, our oil will dry up and our lamps will go out, and we know how that scary reality was depicted in the prophetic word when it came to those foolish virgins who at the last minute found it impossible to prepare for the Lord. And the Seventh-day Adventist church is jam-packed full of them now. But there are some people in there that are going to be getting out. He wouldn't have said my people in Revelation 18:4. He wouldn't have said it if they weren't in there. And so again, study the word, brothers and sisters. In fact, it says in Romans 10:17, like I mentioned a minute ago, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So seeing how our faith grows by reading his word, one can see how studying the Bible helps us keep our lamps well trimmed with the oil of gladness. And that's why Rome is doing all it can to destroy the, or trample it underfoot, or as the prophecy of old, the defiled bread prophecy, where they were, it was prophesied that they would tear up the Bible as best they could to make people not understand it. And so you can see how they're going to do that with the spirit of prophecy as well. And so I don't think it's a mistake that we find smack dab in the middle of the Bible these words in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119, verse 105, and then Psalm 119, verse 130. 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I think, is that the exact, because Sister Leanne and I were talking about this last week, we were trying to figure out the absolute center of the Bible. I think it had something to do with the Bible. I think that is verse 105. And then verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And so our God has given power unto these two golden candlesticks, or two witnesses, and they are the eternal source of our power as Bible-believing Christians. In fact, when Satan was attacking Christ, did Jesus not defeat him each time by simply using Scripture? That seemed pretty obvious to me. It's that powerful. Each time Satan twisted truths to try and get Jesus to bow down to him, Jesus always came back with the words, it is written, and then echoed that which was written to easily defeat Satan each and every time, because he knew, Satan knows about the word. He knows it's locked. It's locked down. There's no way of changing it. That's why he always uses truth when he spreads lies, because truth can't stand alone. It has to be shored up. Lies can't stand alone. It has to be shored up with truth. You know, the lies of Satan use the truth as a crutch to be able to stand there, but eventually it falls. That's why they keep on redoing the lie. I mean, look at the Quran of the Muslim. If you got an old Quran, because the newer ones are different, they'll say otherwise, but they are, and you get an old Quran, or even when it's just a, you know, few decades old, you don't have to go crazy and get one that's 1,000 years old, but even if you could find one, but they say that the old statements are superseded by the new ones. Why? This is, well, new truth has been... No, it's because they're trying to cover their tracks on a lie that they said in the old one. That's why Rome keeps on changing its dogma, or doctrine, as some people would call it. You know, But that's how powerful the Word of God is. And that's why Satan gets billions of people to stop reading it, because when we read it, Satan becomes the wimpiest being in the universe. And rightly so, as the obedient people of God will walk by and be astonished, literally, when they see this puny little form called Satan smeared on the sides of the pit, as Isaiah put it long ago. I'm talking about the people that are going to be in heaven. And then we go walk out on the ashes of the dead, even though they think they're going to be alive in hellfire. See, that's another doctrine you'll never find. Genesis to Revelation, it's just not in there. But if you get the Apocrypha of Rome, you might find something about purgatory. It's sad. They don't realize this. So through the eternal Word of God, the Holy Spirit supplies the oil to the lamps so that the lamps may burn continually. But the priest made sure that oil was topped off each morning and evening in the sanctuary. And so again, only through continual study of both the Old and the New Testament Bible, we, the people of God, will be prepared to stand firm in the days ahead, and even now as the trials and tribulations have already come upon us. There's a reason the oil was topped off in the morning and in the evening. So read your Bible in the morning and in the evening. This is especially now, we're on the extreme end of days. He needs to know who he can use. The Lord needs to know who's serious. This is why the five foolish virgins never make it home. Their lamps went out because the oil ran dry, and the oil ran dry because they just stopped reading the Word. When it comes to those popes, prelates, and Protestant wolves who twist the Word of God and rewrite Bibles and spirit of prophecy, to assure Satan's trophy case is well-stocked, theirs is a fate no man would want. For it is written in Revelation 11, verses 4 and 5, that these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now check verse 5 out. Now, anybody out there that twists scripture, you better read verse 5. It says, and if any man hurt them, or if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. See, that's why you see in that bogus 7-year trib secret rapture movie by Kurt Cameron and all that, called Left Behind. You got Moses and Elijah, some actors acting like, which is also based on lies. They're not really Moses and Elijah. So it's all based on lies, the whole thing, because they're actors. I mean, come on, Kurt Cameron's an actor. That's how one of these guys, I'm not going to mention his name. I remember who he is, but I'm not going to give any glory to these people. But one of the actors actually said on camera, I lie for a living. That's what we've been saying for years, but no one wants to hear it. But so they got these actors acting like Moses and Elijah, and fire comes out of their mouths. They don't understand a lick of what Bible prophecy. 2 Peter 1:20 is pretty plain, isn't it? No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. In other words, you can't give me your opinion on what the prophecy means or the symbol. 66 books of the Bible have all been defined by each other. Every symbol in Revelation is defined by all 66 books. Because even in Revelation, the sum of the symbols are defined. The angel literally tells John what these symbols mean while he's in vision. But if you don't read your Bible, then you'll hear it from a false, like a wolf. And he'll go out there and tell you some falderaw. And because they act like they're educated, a lot of people believe them. And that's why free speech is such an issue today. They don't want people to hear what we got to say. That's also why the loud cry, when it starts, they're going to do all that. When it gets loud, I mean, it's already started, but when it gets really loud, they're going to do all they can to shut us up by passing laws, the free speech thing, and then, of course, enforcing the mark, the buy and sell thing, try to shut us up, and then that'll weed out some in our number because some people just aren't as strong as they claim or think they are. Because they don't read their Bibles the way they should, and then they'll be taken out, and then all of a sudden, the death penalty will be put forth because the Gideon Band ain't going to sit tight for this. They're going to stand firm. But in closing, I have a couple of statements here from verses here from Psalms. Psalm 52, verses 7 and 9 says this. Just to put it out there, for those of you that don't know, and I just found this out the other day, so I figured I'd throw it in there, but in nature, the olive tree is a slow-growing tree. that lives quite long, as most trees do, but it's slow grower. It's a slow grower, as they call it. And so it is, again, a fitting symbol unto the source of oil for the lamps that the Lord keeps continuously lit day by day so as to bless his son's bride with the life-giving light they need to have to grow in Christ. Psalm 52, verses 7 to 9 says, "Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." And then, praise God. Praise his mighty name, brothers and sisters, that those of us that have been blessed with children while we were obedient Christians, notice this, when speaking of the obedient man of God, Psalms 128, verse 3 says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Next Sabbath, we will look into who is allowed to light the lamps. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.